forgiven in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, tonight we hear about an experience that I don't think any one of us would like to go through ourselves. Jonah was praying where? From the belly of a great big fish. Now, we often hear about Jonah and the whale, but actually the Hebrew word just says sea creature, or maybe even fish. Maybe it was some type of huge shark. We're not sure. All we know, it was a big enough sea creature to swallow Jonah whole and hold him in its stomach. Now imagine that experience. The smells. The sounds. The feel of it all. The gastric juices digesting your clothes. And then, eventually your skin. The utter darkness. No wonder Jonah was praying with all his might. In that type of a situation, you might wonder, had God completely forsaken him? Actually, the opposite was true. Not only was God with Jonah, in the sense that God is existing everywhere, but he was also with Jonah in a very significant way. He was with Jonah through his word. You see, chapter 2 of the book of Jonah is his prayer while he was in the belly of the great big fish. And what's interesting about Jonah's prayer is that it is laced from beginning to end with the word of God. You see, Jonah is praying the Psalms. In fact, we use Jonah's prayer in our opening confession. And that prayer is actually taken from Psalm 42. In fact, there are other psalms represented in Jonah's prayer as well. So even though Jonah was a rebellious prophet, he certainly was not an uneducated prophet because he knew God's word, and it was serving him well because now he was praying God's word, and through God's word, the Lord was with him. Tonight, before the service, I taught our last confirmation class for the year before we begin again next fall. And as I usually tell my young people several times, the reason we have them memorize God's word is that we want God's word to be in their heart and mind, especially during those times in their life where they need to latch on to that word and be comforted by God's promises. The word of God is now serving Jonah well as he lies in the belly of the great big fish. How are things going to turn out for him? He doesn't know. One thing he does know, he is in the belly of the great big fish because he rebelled. He rebelled against God. That's why Jonah confesses, God, you hurled me into the sea. Now, when he says that, he's not blaming God. He's just acknowledging the fact that he's getting what he deserved. God, you hurled me into the sea, and that's what I deserved. But notice how Jonah doesn't end with despair. He remembers that his God is a God of mercy and forgiveness and compassion. In fact, that was the reason Jonah rebelled in the first place. Remember when God called Jonah to preach to Nineveh? Remember what Jonah said? He said, no, God, I'm not going to do it. And here's why. Because if I preach your word to Nineveh, there's a chance they will repent. And if they repent, you're going to forgive them. And I don't want you to forgive them. So long, God. Well, now Jonah, the rebellious prophet who deserves to be cast away from God forever, is getting what he deserves. But he remembers his faithful God. That's why he prays to the temple. The temple in Jerusalem. Jonah makes the comment that those who worship worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Here Jonah is confessing that there is only one God and one God alone who saves. To trust in any gods of our own making is to doom ourselves forever. But here Jonah is trusting in the one true God who can be found at the temple in Jerusalem. Now understand something. When I say that the one true God was found at the temple of Jerusalem, I'm not saying he's like all the other pagan gods who lived in a local area, because the one true God is the creator of heaven and earth. He fills the whole universe. He doesn't need a place to live. So why does Jonah suggest that God dwells in the temple of Jerusalem? The reason God chose to have his glory dwell there was that he wanted to have a place where people could look and know that they were finding the one true God. In other words, God put his glory and his teaching in the temple at Jerusalem so that the whole world could look to Jerusalem and know there, and there alone, is the one true God, our Lord and Savior. In fact, in that temple was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was an altar. And on that altar, the priests would offer the blood sacrifices. The blood sacrifices that pointed ahead to Jesus, the Savior of all sinners. And so when Jonah was praying toward the temple while he was in the belly of the great big fish, he was essentially trusting in Jesus for salvation. And during this Lenten season, we do the same. We trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. In fact, we need to remember that wonderful promise of God, because sometimes we too can feel like we're in the belly of a great big fish. Not literally, but when we face the various trials and difficulties of life, maybe we're overwhelmed because of guilt over certain sins. Maybe we're fearful and anxious because of other difficulties we're facing. Maybe it's unemployment. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. There are so many things in life that can make us feel as though we're in the belly of a great big fish, separated from God, without hope. It's during those times we need to pray along with Jonah and remember that we have a God of mercy and love who will never leave us or forsake us. God truly is with us, as he was with Jonah, through his word. That's why you're here tonight, to hear God's word, so that you can be blessed and know that he's with you. In fact, there are two things that we know about God's word for sure. The first thing we know about God's word is that it has power. It has power to convict and humble, but it also has power to raise up and forgive. And God uses his word to do both. In fact, as we learned in confirmation tonight, the reason the Bible forces us to acknowledge our sin is that God knows that unless we acknowledge our sin, we're going to see no need for the cross, no need for Jesus. So sometimes God will hurl us to the depths. He will humble us, but only that he might raise us up by his grace. So by the power of his word, he convicts us of sin, but even more by the power of his gracious word, pointing us to Jesus, he creates in us a heart of faith and a heart of hope, knowing that not even death itself can separate us from God, because he is the God who forgives and raises up the dead. So the word of God that we hear tonight has power. But the second thing we need to know about God's word is that God's word actually took on human form. When the very word of God, the Son of God, took on human flesh. At the beginning of John's gospel, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then he goes on to say, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So God is really with us. He came to us in the flesh. He speaks his word to us. He gives us his body and blood whenever we receive the Lord's Supper. We're not alone. So when we feel as though we're in the belly of the great big fish, when we feel as though all hope is gone, when we feel as though we're all alone, we can know that God is with us. Not only do we have his word in Holy Scripture, but we also have the Word made flesh, the Son of God who took on human form and allowed himself to be nailed to the cross for us, that we might be forgiven and raised up to certain hope. In fact, as you will hear again in the next couple sermons, Jesus uses Jonah's experience as a picture pointing ahead to him. He says, just as Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and then was raised up to new life, I will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and then I will rise again. So Jonah's experience becomes a picture of what Jesus does for us. He goes down to the depths and suffers damnation for us, and then conquers death for us, so that through faith in him, we might rise and live forever. That's the hope we have this evening, my friends. When we reach points in life when we feel like we're in the belly of the great big fish, the best thing we can do is to pray God's word, to recite his promises, and to know that he is with us, and that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that even if we have to face death itself, he will raise us up with Christ as on eagle's wings, and we will never ever be parted from God again. As we will learn next Wednesday, God gave Jonah a second chance. As we will learn next Wednesday as well, God gives us infinite second chances, because that's the kind of God he is. So if you ever do reach a point where you're in the belly of the great big fish, whenever you reach a point where you wonder if God still loves you or if he's with you, then remember tonight's sermon. God will never leave you or forsake you. He is with you through his word that you hear and read and pray, and he's with you through the ultimate word, his Son made flesh, who died and rose for you, and who is with you always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.